Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Ted Tekip, CEO of DoubleBeam, and Jeff Towey, COO. Welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
DoubleBeam. Do you guys always travel in pairs? DoubleBeam?
No. No, we don't.
Double trouble.
Double trouble. Just wanting to know what I'm in for. Okay, let's get specific and talk first about what you guys really do. So if I go to your website, I look at a description that says you play in the mobile commerce space, but so do lots of other people. So what is it that you do that makes you different?
Sure. So DoubleBeam is a mobile commerce platform for retailers. We pull together all the key elements of a transaction that matter both to the retailer and to the consumer. So that includes loyalty, offers, coupons, and low-cost payments.
What does that mean, low-cost payments?
We have the ability to leverage a direct link to consumers' checking accounts and draw electronic drafts out of their checking accounts that can save up to 80% off of credit card interchange fees.
So is that the thing that makes you different than a lot of other platform players in the industry?
I'd say that's one of the things. I think that that combined with the other things that I mentioned in an elegant, simple, single interface between the retailer and the consumer is different than what anybody else is providing.
So what kind of retailers are on your platform?
We offer solutions both to large retailers. Those are typically branded solutions under the retailer's branding where we operate as a component inside oftentimes their own existing mobile applications or our white label mobile application or some other non-mobile interfaces that we'll talk more about soon. And that allows the consumer to interact through the retailer branded app with the retailer in their store.
Now, would I have experienced any of your apps? Would I know it? Are you branded in that situation with the retailer?
We're typically not branded. So we started out and are still big and pursuing actively the grocery space. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it'll be us running inside a local, regional, or even national grocery chain.
Gotcha.
There we're integrating into their existing legacy point-of-sale system, oftentimes their existing loyalty program, as well as pulling in digital coupons, digital receipts, and making it, again, a very simple and elegant solution for the consumer.
So what's the payment experience at the point-of-sale? Is it a barcode? What is it?
Today it's a barcode, mm-hmm. But as I mentioned, we are going to roll out several other applications.
To be determined.
Right, so we support the tactics that the retailer chooses or how the prevailing winds are blowing at that time and also any existing tactics that the retailer wants to preserve. There's about 150 million people that are registered for grocery loyalty programs, for mm-hmm. example, and there's a tactic and an identifier used. Mm-hmm. Will that be going away, or can that be powered as well? Retailers are quite skeptical about the new phenomenon and whether or not they want to make capital investments. They're already forced to, I'll address the EMV question, they're already begrudgingly moving towards supporting EMV by the deadline, hoping that the can gets kicked down the field a bit longer. So that they comply and don't see the shift in liability. So they see that as a necessary evil, and they're not really necessarily enthusiastic about additional tactics.
So when you say additional tactics, mobile payment, is that an additional tactic they're not enthusiastic about?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, mobile payment, specifically with mobile itself, is a bit of a unicorn to them as to whether or not it adds value. And that's why so many mobile wallets and mobile payments tactics have failed historically with grocery, let's just say, for example, or big retailer chains. The experience is novel to consumers. However, it doesn't merge with their current process of customers identifying themselves for loyalty and shopping and the behaviors that are ingrained in these couple hundred million people. And furthermore, it doesn't save them money. So that's the Achilles heel of the whole thing. No retailer is compelled to avidly endorse a solution that doesn't solve an economic problem for them as well, and only addresses, for example, like when it comes to NFC, and only a few percentage points of phones have that. So their mindset is entirely different than let's just say a mobile technologist, and that's why there's been so many failures along the way, is they don't genuinely, the vendors haven't internalized the process flows that are already very much in place at existing retail chains.
That's really interesting, because if you think about it from the consumer's point of view, so I now have my mobile phone, I'm using it in the store to assist me with my shopping experience at the grocery store. I have my loyalty card on it. I present that at point of sale, and I then have to reach into my purse and pull out my plastic
card.
Right.
And so what we're talking about is a solution that brings all of that together, right? So you're not now having kind of two different touch points as well. God forbid you brought in some coupons that you want to have deducted. Today that's all separate, and there's two, maybe three, maybe four different steps to it. Bring that all together in one simple, elegant solution that leverages what the retailer already has in place and helps them save money, we think is pretty powerful.
And so when you say on your website that your solution it eliminates the transaction fees, that's because you're linking it to an underlying checking account that does address what the merchant's concerns are, and that is increasing the cost of payment. Is that sort of it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And how's that going?
It's going well.
Yeah, it's going well. Additionally, we're launching a stored balance solution as well, which the retailer can kind of craft into the sort of a top-up method as well, where it makes sense.
So kind of the Starbucks model.
Yes. So again, the retailer gets a kit. Their tactics can be quite different one to the next. We don't think that retailers are all that enthusiastic about doing exactly what their competitors are doing. Mm-hmm. Coalitions and standards don't necessarily drive the market so well. I mean, the Target Red Card debit program and the Starbucks program are very successful, and those companies were not concerned about doing the same thing as their competitors. So we provide a kit that enables a platform as a service for these different tactics to be used on the front end to initiate payment, to blend their loyalty program and their loyalty experience with the payment event as well. Because this is the convergence that's occurring.
So how comfortable are consumers giving up their checking account information to their local grocer to have their payment deducted right from their checking account? Are they doing that?
Yeah, they are doing that. I think that there's lots of different consumer categories. And some people are going to be more risk-averse and not want to provide that information. And even though they have exactly the same consumer protection rights, if it's coming off of a check or directly out of their checking account as they do on a debit card or a credit card, there is a comfortable level of security with consumers and their credit cards. We think there's a big consumer demographic that is willing to link that directly to their bank account, especially if they're getting an incentive to do so. And that incentive can be monetary. It can be they get special discounts, better rewards, or it can be in the form of convenience. And personally, I'm a convenience-oriented consumer, right? I like things that make it go faster or make it easier for me. I care more about that than whether I'm saving money at one retailer versus the next. And so retailers can use several different tactics to help motivate their consumers to do that.
So you describe yourself as a platform. Obviously, the retailer is an important stakeholder. But who are the other stakeholders that you care about? Do you care about consumers, or do you care about innovators, or who else is part of your platform play?
So merchants is the obvious one, retailers specifically. Consumers is the other major category of stakeholder for us.
And so what do you do directly to get consumers engaged?
We work with the retailers to be able to do that. So first, I think, is being able to provide as frictionless an experience as possible to help onboard the customer, and then working with the retailer to provide those incentives back to the consumer to really improve their lives, be it in saving money or saving time.
So yeah, it's a B2B white label solution entirely. The consumer doesn't see the Double Beam brand. Our go-to-market is as the retailer, and they power their own solutions let's just say closed loop, for example.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to note that that is the case for Double Beam. Mm-hmm. Part of the rationale of our acquisition of GoPayGo back in December was to provide a solution to small to mid-sized retailers. And in that case, they're typically not going to have the resources, either financially or technically, to invest in building out their own mobile solutions for consumers. So there, they'll interact with consumers through the GoPayGo brand. That has the advantage in that particular case of driving consumer discovery of their retail business oftentimes.
So you have the GoPayGo brand where you can have a bunch of small merchants that accept that as part of their mobile platform. Do those consumers also have the opportunity to use that with the white labeled application at some of the other retailers, or do they have to establish a separate account with the retailer that's white labeling what you offer? Does that make sense?
They will be unified. We're still working on that.
Gotcha. Speaking of the acquisition, what did you get and what didn't Amazon get? Because I know there's a little confusion about, you know, which pieces, how the baby was split.
Sure.
Set the record straight.
So the baby wasn't really split. Amazon acquired a license to the underlying source code. And to support that code and some of the things that, you know, as of today they've started rolling out, they hired some of the engineering team from GoPayGo Inc. After they acquired that license, we acquired the company. So we acquired all of the existing IP systems that were up and running and live, all the existing customers, hardware, et cetera.
So are they a competitor or are they a revenue source?
They're not a revenue source for us. They paid a one-time license
gotcha.
Fee. With their launch today of their MPOS solution, I suppose you could say they're a competitor, although we think that our solution is quite different from theirs. I saw the release this morning, looked at their site. It looks like they have, you know, a very nice UI. I think, yeah, obviously, they're unique in being live on the Fire OS platform. I think that they'll probably get some traction from organic search on having that intro teaser rate until January, when they're going to kind of be on par pricing with a lot of the other aggregator models. We believe that the GoPayGo solution has a lot more enterprise-grade capability. We can roll up multiple different locations into one platform, slice and dice the data behind that in a pretty robust fashion. We also have a great order ahead solution. Similar to what Square launched a couple months ago, GoPayGo's had it for a couple years, where consumers can select a merchant within the app, order and pay ahead of time, and then have it ready to go when they walk in the door.
Why do you think there's been so much activity in the space that you occupy? So grocery, convenience, food service. Is it the frequency that consumers use those outlets, therefore the habituation that follows? It just seems like everyone is collecting in that space as a proving ground for mobile payments.
I think it's a massive customer touch point and a lot of brands that want to reach those consumers. But there's a lot of failure along that road as well, particularly in the payment space, where there's a swing and a miss and we're going to be the last inch tactic and suggesting that a retailer is going to launch new hardware. And there's been a lot of failure historically in the percentage of, let's just say, mobile wallets that reach grocery are quite low.
Yeah.
The space has grown up around, again, the existing loyalty programs and those solutions that are in place, which is a different network that usually powers that sees basket and affects payment real time. Bringing it together has been quite challenging for the tech folks. There's been a lot of activity, but not too much traction. We believe that the traction will be in genuinely powering a B2B platform that is branded the retailers, that is not a coalition model, that is really a kit for the retailers to use to bring these frameworks together and to preserve their brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a popular space for the reasons that you both mentioned. It's high repeat customer visits, and if you think about what a consumer is going to want to use their phone to do, it's not going to be a boutique retailer that you go to twice a year, but a grocery store that you and your family go to twice a week, probably. Also, from our perspective, with the value that we offer to merchants along low-cost payments, highly margin-sensitive business, right? So a cost savings on payments makes particular sense there, whereas maybe some other higher-margin businesses may not be as concerned with that. And then finally, I think that the reason why a lot of technologists have focused on it is there is good opportunity to improve the experience within that space, be it through order-ahead and curbside delivery of groceries, helping them compete against Amazon Fresh, or through, you know, really improving that that transaction when they're paying at the register through the ways that we talked about. There's a lot of opportunity to do cool things in the grocery space and really improve that customer experience.
Well, I think, you know, you touched on a good point. I mean, it used to be that the grocery store was the grocery store, and then there were other stores that sold other things. And now you can buy groceries at Walmart and Target and, you know, the wholesale clubs and so forth. And the grocery stores that are just grocery stores have a lot of additional competitors to worry about.
You've seen a lot of that kind of cross-vertical, cross-pollination, right? So, you know, drugstores are selling groceries, mm-hmm. groceries are selling, have pharmacy department, and they have banks in them. I haven't seen any banks selling groceries yet, but maybe that's next.
Well, maybe that's next. But question as we wrap up. So the space is crowded, and the retailers have every reason to want to figure out how to compete to win. So what does the winning platform look like that actually helps them win? And how long will it be before we see the market sort of shake out, consolidate, and get to some sensible competitive set where it's easier for retailers and merchants to make decisions?
I'll take the first stab at that. I think that the solution that will ultimately win will be one that benefits retailers, enables them to better engage their customers, improve loyalty, and compete against you know, their other oftentimes lower cost competitors. So having a platform that allows them to do that in a flexible way that leverages their existing infrastructure, we think that that's what's really going to make sense.
I agree. I think what it looks like is it looks exactly like the retailer, and it's indiscernible from their brand, and it's unique to them, and it's not a coalition that may drive traffic. Who knows what the usage patterns are for a mid-sized retailer or a smaller retail chain as to what the manifestations of supporting an open-loop type merchant-driven card are. So we provide a kit that allows them to create a converged user experience that ties to their loyalty and essentially closes the gap between your mobile experience, your mobile purchasing experience, your order ahead capabilities, and it's all under one single identifier type event at point of sale. Because currently, even with there's just not this gap has not been closed yet, and I think it's the time is right for a platform that can span those capabilities.
Well, I mean, as a consumer, I think it would be phenomenal to have an app that simply makes it easy to shop at the store, not having to worry about whether I brought my loyalty card or my little keychain thingy to scan at the point of sale, or coupons or offers, to have it all kind of happen behind the scenes. So certainly from a consumer perspective, it's welcome, and from a retailer's perspective, it's welcome as well, especially if you can save
quite
the
happy
money.
That you like that use case scenario.
Yeah, no, it's who wouldn't like that, right?
Right. Right.
So, Ted and Jeff, thanks for joining me today, and look forward to catching up with you as your progress evolves. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.